Welcome on in tonight. It's been a little bit of a change of plans. It's the Abe TL Show, getting you started here on your evening. A hump day Wednesday, carrying you through all the way until 10 o'clock tonight. And we are in, and it's finally time, football mode. We got a lot going on with the Atlanta Falcons, but a lot going on in college football as well. Fantasy football. Boy, I got a story for you guys. I don't know yet when I'm getting to it, I got a fantasy football story you need to be here to talk about. You know what? Let me look at the rundown and find out when I can talk about this. Let's go with 8 o'clock. At 8 o'clock, I'm going to start the segment with a fantasy football discussion that you want to be here for. Potentially, and I can let you decide, potentially the worst fantasy football team ever assembled. I'll give you the details at 8 o'clock. But we got a lot more to get to here between now and then. Again, it's Abe Gordon here filling in for Chris Thomas tonight until 10 o'clock tonight. Week one in college football starts tomorrow. A lot of games. A lot of games going on tomorrow. Some are better than others. There's no doubt about that, but you'd be surprised how many interesting storylines there are, even for the games you might not think are great. Look, obviously there's two big ones on Thursday, two big ones on Friday. Tomorrow, Boise State, South Florida, Nebraska, Cincinnati. On Friday, Auburn and Baylor, Georgia Tech and Colorado. But I'm telling you what, there's a lot more interesting games on Thursday than you might think for a variety of reasons. Now, I'm interested, and obviously a lot of these games are going to be blowouts. I'm not looking for competitive performances. I'm looking for storylines on these Power Four teams. One of them being at Missouri. Now, Missouri's hosting Central Arkansas tomorrow. They're going to obliterate them. It's an FCS squad. There is no betting line on this game. But Missouri's going to give one half to Bo Prabula and one half to Sam Horn at quarterback. I want to see how they look. I want to see who wins that job ultimately. Is Missouri still in that discussion? They've been pretty close the past couple of years. I feel like a step back is coming, but who knows? Duke, 34.5-point favorites against Elon, but it's Darian Mensah's first start for the Blue Devils, the Tulane transfer who reportedly moved over to the ACC for $4 million. So there's a lot of storylines besides just the big boys, and we're going to talk about the big boys later, really throughout the course of the show. A guest of mine who I regularly have on to chat college football, John Bryce, a football scoop. He's going to join us at 7:20, but we've got a full preview. Again, I'm only hosting here tonight. We've got college football on tomorrow. We've got college football on Saturday, on Sunday, and on Monday. Tomorrow, Cincinnati and Nebraska is going to be on your airwaves starting at 8:30. On Saturday, two of the big boys, Texas and Ohio State. That game, pregame at 11:30 and kickoff at noon. And, of course, before the pregame, you got college football game time. Myself, Garrett Chapman, John Fricke, Chris Goforth. We'll get you set up for what is a massive, massive week one. The play-by-play continues on 92.9 The Game on Sunday. Notre Dame at Miami. And it's the one game that's kind of a sleeper this weekend. I think everyone's so focused on Texas, Ohio State, so focused on LSU and Clemson. People are forgetting Notre Dame and Miami, not me. We're going to talk about that throughout the course of the show. I think that's a massive, massive game implication-wise for the ACC, for Notre Dame, for Carson Beck. I'm fascinated by how overlooked it feels that game is. It's pretty much a top 10 matchup right there. Standalone game on Sunday, going to be on 92.9 The Game at 7:30. And then Bill Belichick's first game, TCU at North Carolina, home game there on Monday night, also going to be on the station. So a lot of college football coming your way over the course of the weekend, a lot of college football coming your way over the course of the next 4 hours. Falcons, initial 53-man roster set, and I think it's important we use that term. They're using that term. We are. There will be changes. There will be adjustments. They've also made some announcements on the practice squad. We'll talk about that in our next segment and take a look at the roster breakdown there. But Most of it seems to be relatively set. A couple of other things I want to get to here. The Atlanta Dream, and I know it's not for everyone. I know not everyone's paying attention. You should, at least a little bit. This is a team right now. They're hosting the Las Vegas Aces just down the road at 7:30 tonight. It's a massive game, and they've been involved in a number of big, big games for them over the course of the last 2 weeks or so. They are holding on to the number two seed in the WNBA. They just came off not too long ago a win over the one seed in Minnesota, and so they are looking like they could be potential contenders when we get to the playoff stage. So, look, I'm not saying you should, ignore college football to watch the Atlanta Dream, but I also don't think we should ignore what they've accomplished thus far this season. It's far and away the most successful season in Atlanta Dream history, and I think Alicia Gray should be getting a little bit more shout for WNBA MVP, if we're going to be quite honest. She's been outstanding. So a lot going on there with the Atlanta Dream. Big game against the Las Vegas Aces, who got a win just by a couple of points. I think it was maybe 2 points the other night, a few nights ago. The Braves, boy, they're giving you something to think about for next year. And it's I'm going to talk about falling into the trap a little bit later as it relates to me and my expectations for the Atlanta Falcons. I feel like I'm starting to fall into that trap for the Atlanta Braves. And again, not for whatever the rest of this season has to offer. But they're looking fun. They have been fun again. The offense is exploding. I know the pitching is still, on some nights, not where it needs to be. But it's tough to look at this team right now and feel like they can't do so much more next year if they just do what they're doing. Michael Harris is red hot. He stayed hot today, had, I think, three hits. Ozzie Albies, last two games, has, what, 9 RBI, whatever, 10 RBI, whatever the number is? And this team is looking good right now. And again, they're not going to make a run. I openly admit they're not making a run. It's way too little, way too late, way too many injuries, all that. But you start to look. I mean, Spencer Strider had a good outing. Well, you'll see if he can follow that up next time. But you start to look at it and just say, man, if you could just do this at the start of next season offensively, if you can figure out what you're doing with your rotation, there's no reason this team can't go back to being one of the better teams in the National League and competing for the NL East. Wasn't to be this year. But they're giving you something to think about. And Ozzie Albies specifically, look, here's the setup at second base. It's $7 million to keep him for another year. It's $4 million to move on. It's going to cost you $4 million to move on. With what he's doing right now, I'm paying the extra three for a total of seven, and he's my starting second baseman next year. And just like Michael Harris, you hope he can do what he's doing now at the start of the season as opposed to 5 months of slump and then get red hot at the end. So I don't know. The Braves offense went for 9 runs last night in the 9th inning. Was a tight game. Was a tie game. Turned into a blowout. And then they took control from the early stages tonight. Jurickson Profar with a leadoff home run tonight. Or I guess say it today. Joey Wentz with a good outing. 6 2/3, I think he went. 4 hits, 1 run. And again, in an ideal world, he's certainly not part of your rotational plans next year, but I think we saw this year, rotational plans far from an ideal world. And so we'll see how that plays out next season. But started to rebuild my confidence a little bit. Like for most of this year for the Braves, my mindset was like, you can't just run it back. Why would I believe that next year is going to be different than this year, right? Like, that's part of the mindset. And then things started to change. Things started to change first and foremost for Michael Harris, because the Braves are not going to be what they need to be if Michael Harris is not the dude he can be. And then Ozzie Albies is starting to turn. And Drake Baldwin's good, but so is Sean Murphy. You don't have Austin Riley, but Matt Olson popped one. I mean, he hit a bomb today. you decide whether or not his home run to dead center is the reason Ronald Acuña got beaned on the very next pitch. Maybe it was intentional. Maybe it wasn't. Looked like Ronald's okay. That's the important thing there. He was not happy about it. Pitcher got tossed. But it's starting to feel like, hey, if the Braves can stay healthy on the mound, and that's a big if, but they got a number of arms now. Like, even if Grant Holmes isn't going to be able to come back next year, you got so many arms now that in a certain spot you maybe can trust, like a Joey Wentz, like a Hurston Waldrop. So if you get Schwellenbach and Sale, and Sale's going to come back here this weekend, right? Schwellenbach and Sale, Strider, Ronaldo Lopez. Maybe it's Hurston Waldrop. Maybe it's someone else. No A.J. Smith-Shawver, at least until the late stages next year. Who knows what's going on with Grant Holmes? If you could just stay healthy in that rotation, though, and keep the plate going the way it is. I don't know, man. I'm starting to buy back into the Braves for next season. That's the sucker that I am, by the way. As soon as the slate is wiped clean, and I know it's going to be wiped clean for next year, I'm like, I'm all in. And that's part of the problem I have with the Falcons, by the way. I'm going to talk about the Atlanta Falcons at 7. Well, I'm going to talk about them next here with the 53-man roster, the practice squad, and what's going on there. Also, the injury. But at 7:40, I want to talk about my expectations for the Falcons. I hate to admit it, they have changed. They have. I think it's a fair explanation as to why. I'll get into it. Maybe you're the same type of fan. Maybe you're not. Maybe you call me scared or a coward for walking back some of the comments and feelings I had, but I mean, was it from the quote from draft day? We live in a different world than we did 30 seconds ago. I'll tell you what I mean by that at 7:40. Coming up next, though, the 53-man roster is set. We'll give you the breakdown. Also, who's already been added to the practice squad? Who might make an appearance? And who won't we see at all this year? It's tough, but we knew it was coming. It's the Abe TL Show. We roll on. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.